Hey, it's JJ the Magician here, and I just wanted to talk to you about kind of my magic journey. I started doing magic into the genre of close-up. When I was doing close-up magic, I was really performing for just adults. I did stuff mostly with cards. I dabbled a little bit with coins, but cards was my go-to. I think because my family, we were big into playing cards. I remember in the third grade, I was already playing blackjack and rummy and, you know, spades and card games like that. And it wasn't until I realized that I could cheat at cards that magic really piqued my interest. I remember knowing how I could shuffle the cards and keep the card that I wanted either on the top of the deck or on the bottom of the deck. And I remember doing my own magic trick, pretty much self-taught. And I showed it to my uncle. And then my uncle showed me a trick and completely blew my mind. I had no idea how he did it. And I got the bug. Like, I got bit by the magic bug. So I started looking into books. Went to the library. Go to the bookstore. And I would learn these what's called self-working magic tricks. Just pretty basic, easy stuff. Great way to start out. One day I went to go get a key made. And back then we had key shops. Everything wasn't Walmart and, you know, Home Depot. It wasn't really known to go there to get a set of keys made. So I went to the key shop and I got a house key made. And while the guy was doing it, I noticed he had a pack of cards on his counter. And when he came back, I said, "Hey, you know, do you mind if I show you a card trick?" And I showed him a trick, and he said, "Oh, that's pretty clever. Do you mind if I show you one?" And he shows me a trick, blows my mind. And he says, "You know, I actually have a magic shop here in the back of the key shop if you want to come by and take a look someday." And red flags, right? I'm thinking, oh, this guy's a weirdo. He's going to invite this kid to go back there. Yeah, right. You got a magic shop, whatever. And I took him up on his offer. And it was legit. He had a key. He had a magic shop back there. And he took me under his wing. Introduced me to a lot of different kinds of tricks, gimmicks, books, videos, stuff like that. I remember him asking me, you know, what's the first thing you want to learn? Or what's something you really want to learn? And I said, you know, I always wanted to be able to make cards appear from my hand, you know, as if they were just plucking cards out of thin air. And, you know, he pointed me towards the right direction and I'm able to do it, which is that I love it. I do it any chance I get. You know, I can produce cards. I can produce, you know, my ID, credit cards, anything like that. Comes in handy a lot too, business cards and so forth. So, anyway, he took me under his wing, and I focused a lot on card magic, close-up magic, and I absolutely loved it. But I noticed that, you know, at 12, 13 years old, I wouldn't perform for kids. Like, I would always perform for adults, and I'd get paid to perform for adults. You know, I would go to restaurants and do magic, and I would, you know, my target audience were adults, and it was like that for a long time. It wasn't until I had kids of my own, and my kids were about 4 and 5, they were in preschool, and I started, you know, just playing around, showing them a few things, and they loved it. They were in awe. They just couldn't get enough of it. So I started, you know, taking my focus towards kids' magic, you know, just performing magic for kids. And it's totally different than regular close-up. I mean, you can't tell a 4-year-old, "Hey, you know, the Queen of Spades, remember this card, okay?" I mean, you're going to lose it, right? So you've got to be more visual. You have to incorporate things and say things that they would understand, that they would recognize. It's on their level. You know, they understand a little red ball goes into the left hand and disappears and appears in the right hand. They get that, you know. Like, where did this ball go? It disappeared from here and it appeared over there. You know, so I was dabbling into children's magic and eventually just performed for my kids' preschool, and they loved it. I mean, it's a lot of double takes. It's a lot of reactions, doing the same thing over and over, but keeping it funny, keeping it entertaining. The adults loved it, just to see, you know, the kids just belly laughing and rolling around on the floor, cracking up, and absolutely enjoyed it. Then I just started doing this as a regular thing, you know, just part-time, making money here and there, but, you know, it allowed me to go on vacation and, you know, buy some quote-unquote toys and have some fun, you know. So I quickly noticed that magic tricks and magic shows that you do for the preschool till about the second grade doesn't really hit the same or work the same towards the older audiences. So I started, you know, focusing on tricks for the older groups, just in case, you know, somebody hired me and it wasn't for their 6-year-old, it was for their 12-year-old, you know, or their 15-year-old, and so on. So I started doing that, and I noticed that a lot of my kid stuff, like the really, really early kid stuff, started going away. And my groups, or the people that I'm performing for, ended up being a mixture of people. And I would just focus on the kids, you know, whether the kid was 3 years old or 13, I would just focus on the kids. And I noticed that I'm leaving a crucial part of my audience out, and that was the adults. You know, that was the mom and dad watching, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, you know, the you know, people that show up late to pick up their kid or drop their kid off, like that. I'm missing them as an audience. So I started incorporating things that would grab their attention. You know, a lot of times I would say jokes that would fly over the kid's head, but the adults would definitely get it. They'd understand. Just to give you an example, there's a trick that I do. And if you go to my Facebook page, JJ the Magician, there's a video out there on it where I have two little sponges that are cut into the shape of rabbits. And, you know, I go on and say, you know, this is the mom rabbit and this one's the dad rabbit. And I make them vanish or change places here and there. And then at the end, I give the kid both rabbits and I say, okay, we'll put both the mom and the dad rabbit in your hand and close your hand tightly and we'll see what happens. And I look in the audience and I say, oh, now you know what happens when you put a mom and a dad rabbit in a dark, small space, don't you? And the kids look confused, but the adults are laughing. And I say, well, just let's see if the magic happens. And when the kid opens his hand, there's like 8 bunny rabbits, little bunny rabbits, that come out along with the parents, you know, and along with mom rabbit and dad rabbit. And the kids are amazed because of what just happened, how 2 rabbits turn into 7 or 8 rabbits. And the adults are laughing because they kind of guess, you know, they know what the innuendo is. And as I have the kids count the rabbits, I turn and I look at the parents and say, now, parents, I just explained a lot for you. You're welcome. And they start cracking up. So, you know, just you have to know who's in your audience and how to affect them, how to incorporate them, how to include them in your show. You know, in my shows, I absolutely love audience participation. You know, I always get the kids to yell and scream and stomp and clap and circle around. I mean, I don't want this to be a type of show where they just sit down and stare at some weirdo for 45 minutes to an hour. Like, I want fun, you know. I tell the kids, you know, the magic word is JJ the Magician. So anytime I need your help, I want you guys to yell, JJ the Magician, let's try it, you know, 1, 2, 3, JJ the Magician, and they yell it back, and it's just amazing, and it's a great way to plug your name. One of my main goals is once my show's done, I don't want to hear people say, oh yeah, that one guy was good, or that one magician guy was good. No, you're going to remember JJ the Magician. So that's one of my main goals. So I went from close-up to children's magic, and that adapted into family magic. And family magic is where I incorporate it all. You know, I have a mixture of the children, the teen, and the adult magic. And that's what I love. Absolutely love that. There's also what's called stand-up magic, which stand-up magic is more more leaning towards the adults. So I'm still JJ the Magician, but I'm doing things where kids are not present, the adults can focus on. You know, I mentioned things like, you know, I've been married, you know, for 10 years. Any married couples here in the audience? If you've been married 10 years or more, raise your hand, you know. And I would use them in the magic tricks and talk about love and commitment and secrets and things like that. Just things that are more towards the adults. I am a clean magician, which means I don't curse. You know, I don't say anything sexually explicit. Do I push the boundaries? Yeah, I do. But, you know, if a kid hears it and, a teenager or whatever, it'll just fly by their head. They won't notice, you know. Like, for example, I'll bring up a woman on stage and, you know, I'll shake her hand. I'll thank her for coming on stage and I'll say, "Miss, what's your name?" And she said, "Stacy." "Oh, Stacy. That was my name when I was a little girl. Nice to meet you." You know, I'd say funny things like that. But I never curse. That's something that I hold dear to me. I just don't want to be that filthy magician. To me, it just throws things off a little bit, especially if that's not my persona. My persona is I'm happy, I'm energetic, I want people to have fun, I want people to laugh, I want people to smile, and I want people to just sit back and relax. Like, I'm not here to fool you, I'm not here to trick you, I'm here to entertain you. You know, everybody has problems. I have problems in my life. You have problems in your life. You know, but for the next 45 minutes to an hour, I want you to forget your problems. I want you to enjoy what you're watching, what you're experiencing. This is live theater. You don't really get that anymore. I mean, think about it. If you want entertainment, you go to Netflix. You go to Hulu. You know, you go to your phone. You spend hours on TikTok just watching stupid little clips, you know. But live entertainment is starting to become a rare thing. So I want people to cherish that. I want people to know, oh, JJ the Magician's doing a show in town, or JJ's performing here, JJ's performing there. We got to go. You know, we have to see him. And I live in a small town. You know, I'm in Southeast Idaho. And when I announce, hey, I'm going to be in such and such place, people show up. You know, I have quote unquote fans that love my work and love to see me perform and love the way I interact. It's funny, like I'll go to Walmart and I'll see these little kids will just run up to me, JJ the Magician, and they'll give me a hug. And meanwhile, my wife's looking at me like, can you explain? And it's just become like, you know, common nature to her now. She's like, oh, yeah. They must have seen the show. You know, I get moms all the time, you know, hey, where are you performing next? I want to go. You know, I get dads all the time. Hey, you got to show me a trick. You got to do this. You got to do that. And it's just a great thing. Great, great thing. I'd love to be a part of the community and share my magic as well. So that's another thing, guys. If you're in the magic business and you're doing this, give back to the community. You know, be a staple in the community. You know, I'm not saying donate all your time, but if you can donate 15, 20 minutes, you know, or get paid for an hour at a huge event, do it. You know, even if it's free, just do it. What, it's not gonna hurt you. You know, and I know I get a lot of flack from magicians. Oh, don't ever do this for free. Don't do this for free. And I say, you know what? I pick and choose what I do. I want to make sure everything's done for a good reason. And if I can help and I'm available, why not? You know, I've done shows for free before where once I'm done with the show, I get five or six people that come up to me. Hey, we'd like to book you for this event. You know, we'll pay you. We'd like to book you for, you know, my daughter's birthday, my son's birthday. Hey, there's a library. They want to do a magic show. Can you do a themed library show? Of course. You know, hey, there's a grand reopening of a zoo. Can you, you know, perform something there at the zoo? Of course. You know, it just opens so many more doors. So just keep that in mind, guys. So I've got, again, I started with close up, which I love. Went into children's magic, which is another love. Went into family magic, which is my love. That's my bread and butter, and to stand-up magic, which I enjoy as well. It's not my bread and butter. I love it too, but when I can perform for the families, you know, when I can perform for, I love this, love, I'm huge in the family, right? When I can perform for the grandfather, the father, and the child, and I can see that they are all smiling, laughing, and having fun, oh man, I did my job. I absolutely love that. You know, when I can see, you know, the mom and the daughter and grandma and everybody enjoying it, aunts, you know, uncles, cousins, and there's times when I'm performing for live, you know, for events, like a business organization or whatnot, and they're doing like a carnival date or whatever, and they put me into their show, and I'm doing magic, and all the kids, of course, are sitting right in front, and I see all the parents hanging out through the back, just watching their kid, you know, watching me, and I'm doing my stuff, and the kids are enjoying it, and I see the dads talking to each other, whispering and laughing and taking pictures, and it's just an amazing feeling. I love to be able to share my magic, share my experience, and just put a smile on somebody's face. You know, whether you just stopped for 2 minutes to watch me, or you sat there for the whole 45 minutes to an hour, I wanted to affect your life for that time. You know, I want you to leave my show happy. So that's my main goal. So there's other genres in magic as well. Like there's mentalism where, you know, you basically prove to someone that you have no choice. Like I've already determined what you're going to do, say, decide, pick, change your mind, and I'm going to prove it to you. Which is pretty awesome. I mean, there's one trick that I like where, you know, you go on an imaginary date with an imaginary person. It could be any celebrity. You go to a town, for example, Paris. What did you eat? I ate Chinese food. How much was it? $68. Okay. Do you want to leave a tip? It's up to you. You do. Okay. So $74.50. And did you, you know, go out for dessert? Yes. What did you have? I had ice cream. And what was it? Any special toppings? Yes, I had cherries or peanuts or whatever the case may be, right? And at the end, you gather all those pieces of information together and you say, I knew you were going to pick that. There's been an envelope sitting here the entire time. I want you to open the envelope up, and they open it up, and print it on a piece of paper, shows the celebrity, the town, what you ordered, how much, the tip, the dessert. I mean, it's just amazing stuff you can get away with. So mentalism is pretty cool. There's also bizarre magic, or also known as geek magic. A lot of times it's like dark magic, like almost looks like witchcraft, or it's mutilation where you can chop your arm off and bring it back, or you stick a needle through your nose, and you know, stuff like that. So there's different kinds of magic out there. There's gospel magic, which is about, you know, related to church, to the Bible, to Jesus Christ, things like that. It's pretty cool. So I've given you what my journey was, and also what other avenues of magic is out there. Escape is another one. Or think of Harry Houdini in a straitjacket, or in the Chinese water torture cell where he tries to escape, or you'll die pretty much. I mean, escape magic is pretty serious. You know, juggling, I consider juggling a part of magic as well. You can juggle anything from tennis balls to scarves to bowling pins to chainsaws to machetes. I mean, it's just endless, right? So it's all about entertaining. What can you do to entertain someone? I'm not here to trick you. I'm here to entertain you. If I can entertain you, I did my job, you know? So there's my journey, guys. I hope you enjoyed this. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up. My email is magicmyway@outlook.com. If you want to show some love and support, that's my PayPal as well. Send me a dollar, you know, whatever you want to send. Show your love and support. So I appreciate you guys. Till next time, peace.